A new playground, unlike any other in the community, is in development on Bloomington's east side. Harmony Park would be McLean County's first all-inclusive playground, located in Rolling Brook Park off Hershey Avenue. Corin Chapman is with the Max Miles Foundation, and Jennifer Brown is with the Bloomington Normal JCs. Chapman tells GLT's Mike McCurdy the main difference between an inclusive playground and a traditional playground is accessibility.
We'll have rubberized surfacing that'll be much more conducive to the use of a mobility device, ADA compliant ramps. The platforms will allow for a wheelchair to turn around, and a lot of the park equipment allows for the size of a wheelchair to be included on that piece of equipment. But it also has an inclusive aspect to it, whereas in most cases, well, a lot of playgrounds that are built, you have aspects that are accessible, but they're completely separated from those pieces that a fully abled child would want to play on. And so the inclusive playground has equipment that's specifically designed to bring those two groups of children together and play together, which I think is just what makes this playground so fantastic.
Right. It has benefits for the kids that aren't disabled because they get to interact with the kids they wouldn't normally get an opportunity to interact with.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's kind of the key to building a community, is having interactions amongst everyone, not just the people that are most like yourself.
You're obviously thinking about playgrounds in a way most people don't. I had no idea that there were basically four types of playground. Jennifer, you want to talk about those?
Yeah, so the four different categories that most playgrounds fall into is an exclusive, where, you know, kind of as Corin was saying, that there are a lot of playgrounds where, you know, maybe those structures or maybe the surfaces don't allow everyone to participate on each of those. So, you know, they may not be large enough for a wheelchair to, you know, access them, or the playground may not be conducive to a mobility device. So that would be an exclusive playground. The complete opposite of what we're going for. There's also segregation. So there are some parks where, again, as Corin stated, that some of these parks where, you know, the handicap accessible pieces or structures of the playground may be in a separate area of the playground than the structures or the playground equipment that the you know, fully capable children would be able to access. There's also integration parks, so where some of those pieces may be available, so there may be some handicap accessible playground structures that are integrated within other pieces on the playground. But again, it doesn't allow that child that may be in a mobility device to access all of that playground. So the park that we are working on is a fully inclusive playground. So I think it's 99% of our playground is accessible to both children that maybe have handicaps or disabilities, and also children that don't have to worry about that.
And are most playgrounds in Bloomington Normal exclusive? They're not even segregated. There's not an opportunity for disabled kids to actually step in and play on the playground.
So the minute that your park has wood chips, that excludes a large portion of these children.
Or even grass.
Or even grass. Anything that would limit their ability to take their mobility device and kind of independently explore a park essentially makes it exclusive for just fully abled children.
So why now? What's taken so long to get McLean County up to speed with its neighboring communities?
Sure, that's a great question. And I looked at all the different inclusive and accessible playgrounds within Illinois, and our town, our city, Bloomington Normal, is the only city with over 50,000 people that doesn't have an inclusive playground.
In Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is just really kind of an oversight, that unless somebody pushed for it, it wasn't going to happen. And so we just kind of happened to step up to the plate to push for it.
So you talked about mulch and grass. Where are some other areas that kids with disabilities might run into issues at a more traditional playground?
Sure. Anytime you have stairs, so if you don't have an ADA-compliant ramp to get up to different platforms, that can be an instant limiter for quite a few children.
Some parks that I've been to with my kids, you have to step down into the playground. So there might be some sort of, you know, boundary, I guess, around the edge of the playground where you have to step down. So you're stepping down, which, again, there's no ramp. And then also you're stepping down into wood chips. So, there's just a lot of barriers when it comes to regular parks here in town.
And this park will have a boundary or a barrier, but that's around the perimeter, and that serves a purpose, right, Jennifer?
Yeah. So our park will have a fence around the whole park. That was really important to us to make sure that we had that, because there are children that might be on the autism spectrum that are prone to wandering. And a lot of the families that this is going to serve, they may have a child that might be on the autism spectrum, but then they may also have children that aren't. So that gives that extra level of security to those families to allow them to be able to play with all of their kids in one park and make sure that all of their children are safe.
What is play deprivation, Corinne?
Sure. Play deprivation is where a child just doesn't have access to play for whatever reason. And sometimes play deprivation can be limited or due to some sort of disability, as in a child may be unable to ride a bike or play sports. So this park is attempting to kind of get around some of those barriers that might be, and at least give those children access to a playground that they can play on.
And what are the effects of play deprivation?
Play is just very important for the development of a child. So it's not just the physical development, but it can be the social, it can be the behavioral, emotional development of a child is driven very much by play. And so if you don't have access to play, if you're play deprived, you don't get that piece of development, and that can have long-lasting effects.
So we've talked about steps and wood chips and even grass presenting barriers. What about the equipment itself? Is there equipment at a particular, at a traditional playground that presents issues? All of it? All of the equipment?
Yeah. It's hard to just isolate one piece of equipment. But you think about even a merry-go-round. Most children that have a disability might not have appropriate core strength or just overall physical strength to participate in a merry-go-round. But here we have high back molded chairs that allow for a child that doesn't have that core strength to sit up appropriately. And then we'll also have fastenings in it as well that will secure that child. So now they will be able to participate in just that classic joy that is a merry-go-round.
And Jennifer, other equipment that we might find at an inclusive playground?
Yeah, so we are trying to put some unique pieces into our park. We're also looking at another piece. So the merry-go-all that Corinne was just talking about is a great example of that. We also have the rock and raft, which is a really neat, it's almost like a teeter-totter, but it's large enough for children with mobility devices to get into. And again, with the piece of it being an inclusive piece to our park, is that those children with the mobility devices can roll into that piece of equipment, and then maybe a child that doesn't have a disability can push that child up and down on this sort of teeter-totter raft type structure. So,
what about playground equipment that might benefit kids that don't necessarily have a mobility issue?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So one of the other features that we're going to have in the park is a roller slide. And what is really exciting about that piece of equipment is it is safe for kids with cochlear implants to interact with. So a lot of typical slides when you go to a regular park, they're plastic and they're enclosed, so it's hard for those kids to be able to enjoy that kind of feature.
Right, which is great. My son actually has a cochlear implant, so we're very excited about the roller slide. And not only is it safe for cochlear implants, but it's also a great sensory piece for children that might have sensory issues as well.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy with Corinne Chapman and Jennifer Brown, working to establish an all-inclusive park in Bloomington Normal. We talked about the benefits of bringing the kids together. What about benefits for older people and caregivers?
Sure. That is a great point that I feel like gets overlooked a lot when we're talking about this playground. But there are a good number of parents in this town or grandparents in this town that don't have the ability to take their children or grandchildren to the park for much of the reason that a child with a disability can't go to the park. If you try to take your wheelchair, even as an adult, onto wood chips, it functions just the way as it would for a child.
Or a cane, for that matter.
Yeah, it's a severe barrier. And so this would help those individuals, play not just not just take their child to the park and watch them play, but be able to play alongside them.
This is a public-private partnership. Let's talk about money, Jennifer. How much does it take? What's the proposed cost? What's the funding split between the city of Bloomington and the not-for-profits that are raising the money?
Yeah, so overall, we need about $320,000 to bring this whole plan to fruition. The city of Bloomington has slated $85,000 to go to the park, and it should be, and it is a good point to make that the city did have that money set aside to replace the funds at Rolling Brook, so it's not an additional $85,000 that
the equipment was already slated to be replaced.
So we are just adding to that money to make it a better resource for our community. So we have received $25,000 from the Neighborhood Assist Grant. We also got a $1,000 grant from Youth Engaged in Philanthropy. And we have gotten various other smaller donations from private individuals as well.
We're at about $140,000, including the $85,000 from the city of Bloomington.
We're getting closer, but you still have less than half. So what happens now with fundraising? Are you entering into a new fundraising phase here to sort of do the final push, raise the rest of the money?
So right now, we're soliciting quite a few different corporations within Bloomington. We've also doing a presentation, doing radio interviews to get the word out, and we're hoping that that will build interviews. But we're also having a few events coming up that will hopefully not only raise some money, but also just raise some recognition of the project.
What's the next event?
So we're planning a poker tournament in May with details more to come. But if you want to find out more details and keep abreast of any of the events that we have coming up, our Facebook page is really the great place to get the details.
And the Facebook page is?
The Harmony Park Project.
What about what the not-for-profits are contributing? Partners like Autism McLean and Mark First, the one you represent, Corinne, Max's Miles Foundation, and the JCs, which you represent, Jennifer. What are those groups bringing?
All of our organizations together are kind of pulling together to do a lot of these events. So for example, the poker tournament that we're planning, all of our organizations are going to really come together, and we're going to start help to promote it to kind of make sure that we're touching as many people as possible. But then each organization individually, you know, they all have their strengths. So, you know, we're kind of pulling from everybody's strengths and everybody's contacts in this in town here to try to bring that money in. So I don't know if I can point to one specific thing that each organization is doing, but we're all just really kind of, it's a team effort to make sure that we're just making as big of an impact as we can for any events.
Sounds like a lot of organizational responsibilities spread along among the among the groups. Corinne, how did you get involved personally?
Sure. So my husband and I founded a small nonprofit called Max's Miles Foundation. And what we do is we outfit small power wheels to help a child hit a developmental milestone. And so through that, we were picked as a benefactor of the Brugula Festival in the summer. And through that, I met Jen. And we started talking about the lack of an accessible playground in town and the concern that we had with that. And Mark First and Autism McLean were also benefactors of Brugula. And so we just started working together. And Jen worked with the city of Bloomington to figure out that Rolling Brook Park would be a good spot. And it's just kind of gone from there.
And why Rolling Brook? Why is that a particular good spot? Is it because the equipment was already slated to be replaced?
Well, partly that, but we also wanted to make sure that it was off the trail to make it easily accessible. We wanted to make sure that there was a lot of green space, because that's also important when it comes to kind of just the aesthetics of a park and how appealing it is to people. But then also the fact that it was like set away from a road, it wasn't right near the road. So there was a lot of things where it was just kind of like serendipity that it happened to be next up on the city's list to replace, because we just felt right away that that was the perfect location for this park.
And the fundraising is going well. Will you have the money you need when you're sort of eyeballing groundbreaking, and when would that be?
Sure. So we're looking to raise the funds throughout 2018. So hopefully by the fall, so that we can purchase the equipment this fall, with the thought being groundbreaking the spring of 2019.
Corinne and Jennifer, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas.
Thanks so much.
Learn about the project, fundraising, and even make a contribution at theharmonyparkproject.org.